We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN, just in front of 9:20. We're continuing our conversation with guests from the National Bio and Agri Defense Facility on the north side of Manhattan. We are talking today with Dr. Bill Wilson, NBAF Senior Science Advisor, as well as Dr. Ken Burton, NBAF Coordinator, and Katie Pulaski, NBAF Communications Director. We'll kind of shift gears here and talk to Dr. Burton. Now, Bill talked about some of the key partnerships that NBAF will have, but how does NBAF plan to manage the potential risks?
Yeah, thanks, Brandon. You know, you've heard us say quite a few times over the last several years that NBAF's developing a culture of safety and security, and that truly is a focus as we go forward. And probably success, I would say, in mitigating risk is going to come down to a combination of, you know, three core areas that we'll emphasize: people, procedures, and facilities. You know, as far as the employees and the people go, every employee at NBAF has to pass an extensive background check before they even receive their final offer for employment. So, you know, then once they're on board, depending on what their role at NBAF will be, whether it's administrative, outside of containment, or research within the containment barrier, they continue to undergo increasing levels of security clearance that allows them to do their work at the BSL-3 or BSL-4 levels. And then also, you know, there's many other things that come into play, but another factor is that our bio-risk protocols also call for a buddy system. So researchers will work in pairs to ensure that no one's in the laboratory by themselves at any time. So, you know, there's no individuality going on there. It's working as part of a team at all times. Procedure-wise, the procedures that are put in place to do our work at NBAF are also essential to minimizing risk. Each unit on the NBAF team currently, what we're focusing on is writing standard operating procedures, or SOPs. And these will identify step-by-step measures that will be required to be followed both in actually the operations of NBAF and then also research. And so these SOPs plus a tremendous amount of individual and team training prior to USDA operating the NBAF facility and being able to begin research, all of those things are just critical to minimize the risk for safe and secure research. And then the facility itself, you know, NBAF, there's no other facility in the world that's going to be like it. There's only four other facilities in the world that are capable of doing research at this highest level of containment, or BSL-4, on large livestock. So NBAF's going to be the newest and the largest, and the technology utilized in the NBAF laboratories, as well as the safety and security features in and around the building, everything's cutting edge and going to provide the best that there is. The containment area, you know, within the building itself is constructed to exceed the safety standards utilized by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission for nuclear power plants. So safety and security, they're not just something that we talk about at NBAF. It really is. It's a culture that each of us will live and breathe every day we go to work there. So a lot going on in that respect to help mitigate those risks.
On the people side of that, I imagine it's probably pretty extensive here, but just talk about the comprehensivity of of a mental health background before somebody starts there, because I imagine that probably plays a big factor.
It is, and that's one of the big things that the bio-risk group emphasizes is, you know, if something's happened in your life or if you don't feel right, you don't go into containment. And that's another reason why we have the buddy system, is you're also held accountable to someone else, that if you notice someone doesn't seem like they should be going into containment to function at their highest level, it's up to you to notify our bio-risk people.
All right. Well, Katie, speaking of hiring, you mentioned last month that NBAF was going to participate in the K-State All-University Career Fair and also the Kansas Works Career Fair. How did those go?
Yeah, thanks, Brandon. We're, you know, it's really exciting to see all of the new and invigorated interest in NBAF as we get closer to having a facility that's open and that we can move into. We're we had a great time participating in both fairs. It's definitely different not meeting in person, right? Not being there and having the booths and all the normal stuff. But the at the K-State All University Career Fair, they did a, you know, we were able to set up sessions where students could sign up to learn more about MBAF. We did that all virtually. And we ended up giving six different sessions talking about the MBAF mission and vision and about hiring and job opportunities and talked with 45 students. So that was great. Just getting to make students aware of MBAF, that not just being that building over by K-State, but what we're actually going to do there and the potential job opportunities for them in the future. We even also got to participate in a hiring discussion for veterans last month through another effort with the K-State Career Center. So that was neat. Kind of on the job, on the side of jobs, in the coming months, we are MBAF will focus our hiring efforts on. We've got about more than 60 positions, primarily in the facilities and animal care units, that are going to be posted over the coming months. Just a reminder for all the folks listening, all those positions will be put up on usajobs.gov. And then as we start to, you know, to think more about scientist positions, you'll see some scientist positions come up here and there. And a lot of those you'll see will actually start at the Plum Island Animal Disease Center in New York. But as the research is relocated, those employees will transfer to MBAF in Manhattan. So lots to look forward to, and we certainly look forward to participating in these kind of career fairs and other events in the future.
And I'm sure there's a lot of hardships for starting a new facility during a pandemic, but I'm hearing mentions of MBAF in the community more these days. What other activities have you guys been up to?
Yeah, so I was just putting together, we put an outreach report together every month that we send up through USDA, so folks up there can see what we're doing. And the outreach activity and the interest in MBAF is definitely picking up. We actually participated in 17 different outreach activities this month, lots of those and most of them virtual, including career fairs. Dr. Clavijo did a lunch and learn presentation for the National Coalition for Food and Agricultural Research. Dr. Burton and I and some of our other unit leads participated in a virtual meeting and gave a presentation with the Region 7 response team of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. And then earlier this week, we had the pleasure of giving a brief and a site tour to Mr. Steven Simsky, who is the Deputy Secretary for USDA. So definitely lots of activity there. We pulling some of those stats together, another one that's really neat to share is so far this year, even with about 6 months of maximum telework, we've participated in just under 100 outreach activities, and we've touched over 90 different organizations. So just we're really thrilled that so many people are interested in hearing more about MBAF. Earlier this month, we brought on our new outreach coordinator. His name's Dan Garris, so he's going to be helping us manage these efforts, which will no doubt continue to pick up. And so just as, a reminder to everyone listening, we certainly welcome questions, feedback, and presentation requests to our facility email at mbaf@usda.gov. And certainly folks can message us on Twitter and LinkedIn as well.
All right, good. Lots of stuff there. It's great that you can do that much outreach here, even though it's all virtual. Nice that we have that technology.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, Dr. Burton, it sounds like MBAF is already doing a lot before the facility is even open. How do all the outreach and hiring activities and partnership development work to help MBAF with its ultimate mission?
Well, as you can hear from Katie, it really is a busy time right now, even though we're all working from home. But the activity and the productivity levels really haven't decreased for USDA, which is great. Our overall MBAF mission is to protect the United States against these transboundary emerging and zoonotic animal diseases that threaten not only our livestock industry, but our food supply, the economy of the agricultural community, and public health. So as Dr. Wilson mentioned earlier, we're going to be more successful if we tap into the many partnerships and opportunities for collaboration that exist not only here in the Manhattan area and the 150-mile stretch of the Kansas City Animal Health Corridor, but also through partnerships with universities like Kansas State and everything that they have to offer and other universities across the nation, other U.S. government agencies, private health private animal health stakeholders and other high containment animal research laboratories around the world. So, you know, those are critical that we establish and maintain. The hiring piece, you know, it takes a special group of dedicated employees at NBAF to accomplish the vision. And the vision for NBAF is a safer and more resilient America through a world-class science facility for large animal agricultural research, training, and diagnostics. So our hiring efforts have really been successful at creating that special workforce with that emphasis. And then outreach, following up on some of Katie's comments, ongoing NBAF outreach. You know, in the past, it's been very important to explain why we needed NBAF. Now, our outreach efforts continue to be really important to provide the community with an understanding of where we're at with construction, where DHS is at with construction, and then where USDA is with operational stand-up prior to opening the facility. And then in the future, we need to continue to communicate the critical mission and vision that NBAF is going to be able to provide. You know, we kind of forget and we get focused on local here, but it really is a critical asset to the nation as a premier high containment agricultural research facility, you know, for the United States and for the world. So those partnerships are just critical to moving forward.
Absolutely. Well, real quick, before we let you go, I wanted to squeeze in a quick construction update, kind of see where we're at here as far as you know, we're getting into the final quarter of 2020.
Sure. They're about, continue to be about 91% of the $1.25 billion spent, so about $1,146 million spent. Continue to have about 150 workers on site on a daily basis, you know, mostly doing, gosh, you see a lot of really nice landscaping on the campus and just doing a lot of the finishing touches and checking out some of the different parameters that the research rooms will need to be able to have for when USDA moves in. So basically, you know, getting really close. Everything looks really good at this point.
Awesome. Well, great to hear from Dr. Wilson. Thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck going forward.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Dr. Burton, Katie, appreciate you being here as well. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again next month.
You bet. Thanks as always, Brandon. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brandon.
You bet. Stay tuned. We'll have more in focus continuing after this on News Radio KMAN.